Yo, what's up? This is Mikey Dabb, and welcome to The Hype Report. Each week, we recap the biggest stories from Hypebeast directly from the minds of the editorial team. I'm here to connect the dots. Let's get into this week's show. What's up, guys? What's going on? You got Mikey Dabb here sitting across from Keith Distiller, and today we are going to be recapping some art moments in 2019, and then we're going to follow up with some of the more important topics that did happen out of that list, and then follow that along with social media and its effect on the art world as of late in the past couple of years. Keith, kick it off. What do you got for me?
All right. So this year, much has happened in the art world, from, you know, discoveries, incidents, and crimes. And yeah, let me just start it off. My list for the top 10 art moments in 2019. First one is the Notre Dame Cathedral that was destroyed by fire. The second one is Banksy opening up his gross domestic product store. The third one is Leonardo da Vinci's Vitruvian Man drawing displayed at the Louvre. There's some controversy around that, whether or not to bring it to the Louvre. The fourth one is Kehinde Wiley's first ever sculpture in Times Square that bashes Confederate monuments. The fifth one is Causes Chairman Mao artwork and the backlash around that. The sixth one is Ai Weiwei winning the lawsuit over Volkswagen. The seventh one is Kanye West's Jesus is King documentary film that was shot in James Turrell's Rodin Crater installation. That's a very rare thing for Kanye West to make an entrance there. It's rare for anyone to actually go in there because it's not open yet. And the eighth one is a 12-year-old boy who found this mammoth tooth while on vacation with his family in Ohio. The ninth one is Mauricio Catalan's 5 million gold toilet artwork that was stolen from the Blenheim Palace.
The thievery.
Thieves, man. And the 10th one, last but not least, is this artist named Klaus Littmann, who turned this Austrian football stadium into the sprawling forest installation.
So out of this entire list, there's a couple of things that definitely like pop out. Some we spoke about on the Hype Report and some we did not. What's one of your more favorite moments, or maybe not favorite, but most monumental moments in art this year?
One of the things that really stuck out this year in the art world is the Notre Dame Cathedral being destroyed by fire. Most of the artwork and religious relics that were inside the cathedral were destroyed by this fire in April when they were doing renovations to it.
I can't remember the last time I heard of a cathedral burning, one, and two, like losing that much or that many artifacts in one time.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy. I think that's a good note for this year, because that's a rare occurrence, if ever occurs.
And a lot of artists took to Instagram to show their support, and they also made monetary donations. And among them is Takashi Murakami, Sterling Ruby, and Jenny Seville.
Which is a testament to like where art stands. The unity is there, which is cool, because I wouldn't expect Takashi Murakami to be like, oh, we need to save this cathedral, you know, or like rebuild this cathedral. But I guess if you have the means to help, then you help, especially for a monument such as the cathedral. Pretty dope. What else you got?
Another one that stood out this year is Banksy's gross domestic product online and physical store that happened this past October. So he launched the store following a legal battle with this greeting cards company that wanted to own the trademark over his name,
Banksy. Yeah, we spoke about this one in one of our earlier episodes as like a follow-up to that. Like, it's definitely cool to see. We don't have any finality yet, which is kind of upsetting, so to speak. But at the end of the day, like, it's cool to see that Banksy had to come out of hiding.
He did.
He had to come out of hiding for, I guess, to save his own name.
It's kind of one of those rare occurrences where you do see Banksy kind of like almost surrendering to the pressure of what is his most important identity, his name, his trademark, you know what I mean?
Who is that guy?
Yeah.
Like, if you were like a fan of Banksy from years ago, like you know, like nobody knew who he was. That was the whole allure to like his art, was to be like, oh, nobody knows where it came from, when he did it, like what he looks like. And now it's like, years later, we found a way to get you out. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. And what's another one you got for me?
Third one is Kehinde Wiley's first sculpture, which was displayed in Times Square.
Yeah, so when we spoke about the Kehinde statue, we got a couple more months left before it goes back to down south, so to speak. But I don't know, it was cool to see a depiction of a Confederate general made for our time and our likeness, so to speak. What's your take on that?
My take is that, you know, I think the contemporary art world is very guarded in keeping and preserving its history. But I think now it's understanding that the youth culture has this very dominant sort of place in this era that we're living in now, and mainly people of color, mainly like Black people. And that goes to say that a lot of museums, galleries, first market, secondary market, collectors, auction houses. They are very keen on buying art from contemporary Black artists.
So the depiction from a Confederate general in the likeness of an urban youth, just it kind of permeates through the world, I think. Just a showcase from, I don't know, I want to say baby boomers generation weren't that outspoken. And like art was still kind of contemporary and kind of just stayed to its paradox of what it was. And, you know, people always had their own different opinions and how they view things and how they did their own art. But right now you're seeing this huge emergence of like urban youth taking kind of control of or taking the art world by storm.
Yes.
In their own depictions. And it's being accepted, which I think is more important. Like I said, like the baby boomer era, I think set up this whole you can be who you want to be, even though we couldn't.
Yes.
So now you have this emergence of kids being told like, hey, you can do what you want. You can be who you want. You can chase your own dreams. Mm-hmm. And this is a perfect example of seeing your ancestors one way and how they were treated and then moving forward to where you live now and how you live now in one place.
Yeah. And we're talking about this artist, this very prominent, important artist, Kehinde Wiley, creating a statue that mimics a Confederate soldier statue, a war hero essentially for the South. And statues in general, you know, are made, like, even going back to like ancient Greece, made to honor war heroes, generals, mm-hmm. scholars. And for Wiley to create one, to mold one of a young Black man wearing a hoodie and Nikes shows how important, you know, it's a symbol of urban youth and how prominent and how important, you know, people of color are, or, you know, that this young Black man are that represents, you know, a wide range of things. It's a very multifaceted symbol in a sense.
It culminates. Yeah. I almost want to say it, and it's ingrained in history now.
It is.
So leading into that, or a nice little segue into the past couple years, I'd say like probably 8, 9, there's been a big shift in social media and how people depict and see the world. It started off like I would go to museums a lot more. Years ago, like probably like 8, 9 years ago, I was definitely in a museum maybe once a month, something like that. Like I'm a little MoMA, whatever it is. If I was in the area, I had a day off or I could go do it, like I would go do it. And I would go, you know, whatever, who cares? Now I feel like I don't have to do that. Social media has made it very easy to view and find out about installations, activations, without having to go. What's your take on that?
Social media has directly impacted the way the public views art, especially contemporary art. You have galleries that, you know, have digital virtual rooms that are showcasing works of art that you don't even need to be like physically there, as you said. But I also that it has like its disadvantages too. A lot of people that go see the art are either mainly doing it for, you know, reasons of vanity or for the hype, as you would say, and not for like scholastic or contextual reasons or anything like that. Even museums, you know, have banned selfie sticks like earlier, you know, maybe in the past like 2, 3 years, because there was so much commotion over, you know, viewing the Mona Lisa, people can't really appreciate its own, like its beauty.
I mean, if you think about it, I can go in retrospect. So like basically years ago when I would see someone go on vacation or they went to like the Louvre or they went somewhere, there would be pictures of the art. Now when I see pictures of that same art, it's in selfie form.
Yes.
Or I see a lot of art installations that make it interactive so people can take pictures with the art.
Yes.
As opposed to enjoying the art by itself, almost like tainting it. For me, like I feel like it's tainting it if you're using it as a way to show your vanity.
Yes.
If I need to be in the picture with the art, am I now taking away from the art?
Yeah.
Am I saying I'm a piece of art? Like I'm that's the way I view it, you know? It's very weird.
It's good to promote. I think what's good about that is that it's good to promote these exhibitions that these museums work hard to, like, you know, program.
Absolutely.
And I guess a testament to, I guess, like virtual reality and how that's showing more of the art and more insights into it is the Leonardo da Vinci exhibition that's happening at the Louvre, where, you know, attendees can go and go beyond the Mona Lisa painting, actually, you know, see augmented reality versions of his own studio, you know, take a ride on his like flying contraption kind of thing. So AI kind of like influence, social media influence, it's really changing the way how we see art.
The advancements in technology kind of allude to a new world of art.
yes,
if you will. Like I like where it's going. Mm-hmm. I like that there's a merger between physical technology and physical art.
Yeah.
Are merging to a place where you can see it without being there, one, or you can see it from a different perspective while being there too. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's important for the growth, and I think it's important for bringing youth into the art realm.
Yes, I do agree.
You know, because if you're not making it so that kids can enjoy it, because I mean, right now you have iPhones and iPads or babysitters. So if you're not making it so that kids can enjoy that same passion that others have through technology, you're going to lose a whole customer.
Yeah, for sure.
Or customer.
I mean, speaking of customers too, it's social media has been a huge platform for independent artists to showcase their work, to sell their work. Traditionally, artists would need gallery backing to, you know, promote their artworks, put them in a catalog. But now artists are doing that themselves and just showcasing their work on their Instagram feed, which is essentially their gallery. And then people would just like DM them.
Are galleries a dying breed now?
That's a question that is very, I think, pivotal to ask right now. Like, does the rise of social media, like platforms, sort of like pressure galleries to kind of go further in how they're supporting artists and promoting them, because artists can do it themselves essentially. But what galleries do have that artists don't have, independent artists don't have, is, you know, obviously the network and the connections to get them to help build their trajectory.
I mean, but like,
but there is also, because of social media, there are different types of artists now. You don't need to be
exactly
a traditional contemporary artist. You could kind of teeter between both lines, both worlds.
To kind of follow the line of social media and what and how it's affected art, the old guards of the art world are kind of fading out, such like the galleries and people who would be like, well, you have to have, or you have to do, or you have to be somewhere or someone for me to showcase your art.
Yes.
And then taking that time to kind of stop or progress people based on whether it was money or whatever brought that new artist into that gallery. I'm not here to say anything about that, but it brings that allure into, I can make a social media post. I can rent out a space. I can find somewhere in Soho. I can find somewhere in Wisconsin. I can find anywhere and really promote from anywhere. So
yeah,
you can be an artist without being or in the art realm.
Yes.
You can create your own buzz. You can do whatever you want. And for that, I applaud social media.
No, for sure. Yeah. And then it becomes a point where you have to do it on a consistent basis, maybe even building your own artist personality, mm-hmm. you know, influencer sort of like approach, yes, to absolutely. Showcasing your work.
Absolutely.
If you go with a gallery, you don't even need to do any of those promotions yourself. But there is a really
not
good
as fun.
It's not as fun. Yeah.
So in hopes for 2020, I'd like to see technology a little bit more. Maybe some more installations where it's all virtual reality.
Yes.
I like the idea. I like being able to visit the Louvre without leaving New York,
yeah,
because that's definitely an eventuality of what's going to happen. Maybe even visiting that cathedral that burned down in a virtual reality way instead, yeah, of them rebuilding the entire cathedral would actually be really dope too. So you can now view it from anywhere, but I can walk into the MoMA and they can have this white room and it put on these goggles and it turns into the cathedral. Like,
yeah,
that would be super dope. Like, I'm excited to see what 2020 is going to bring for artists and art as a whole.
Same here. Yeah. We have, you know, full blown, museums that are dedicated to just digital art. Team Lab Borderless, mm-hmm, you know, which started in Japan and it's been around like Southeast Asia. So I definitely do agree that we're going to be seeing more digital art sort of influence in exhibition shows. I'm very curious to see how social media is gonna sort of pressure artists or pressure galleries, what we've discussed already.
Mm-hmm. And I'm excited for Compound. I think Compound's the first, yeah, show I'm gonna go to in a while. Or actually, it's been a while since I've been to a show. It'll be the first one I go to in quite some time. And yeah, that's the start of 2020 also. So maybe we'll go together.
No, for sure, man.
Uh-huh. I like this idea.
All right.
Keith, always a pleasure. Thank you for recapping the year so far.
For sure.
For the latest in art and design news, follow Hypebeast Art on Instagram or go to hypebeast.com/art. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of The Hype Report. You can find out more about the show and listen to other episodes on hypebeast.com/radio. You can subscribe to us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or anywhere else that you listen to podcasts. Leave a comment and let us know what you think about this week's topics. You can reach out to me on Instagram @MikeyDab, and that's 2 B's. I'm Mikey Dab, and thanks for listening to The Hype Report. Any comment, opinion, or suggestion made by any person contained in this episode does not represent Hypebeast in any way, and those genuinely are their individual, personal opinion and thoughts towards the topic shared.